Glad to be with you this morning. Grace to you and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. I was just wondering actually what message to bring you this morning because this is the beginning of the event of our Lord Jesus Christ. And after much thought, I thought maybe there's a need for the seventh commandment to be preached. So here it is, the seventh commandment. There's this old Catholic priest who got sick of all the people in his parish or congregation, we call it, who kept confessing in the confession room, you know, about their adultery. Finally, one Sunday, in the pulpit, he said, "If I hear one more person confess, you know, to adultery, I will quit." Well, everyone liked the priest, you know, and don't want him to leave. So they came up with a code word, a special code. Instead of saying, you know, "I have committed adultery," they would say, something like, "I have fallen. I have fallen." Now, this seemed to satisfy the old priest, and things went quite well until the priest died at a ripe old age. Then a new priest came to take over the ministry. About a week after the new priest arrived, he visited the mayor of the town and seemed very concerned. The new priest said, "You have to do something about the sidewalk, you know, in town. When people come into the confession room, they keep talking about having fallen." The mayor, who happens to be a member of the church, okay, started to laugh, realizing that no one had told the new priest about the code word. Before the mayor could explain, the priest shook an accusing finger, you know, at the mayor and said, I don't know what you're laughing about. Your wife fell 3 times this week." Well, this is not funny at all. Well, the joke is funny. Let's all laugh at it. Right? But in fact, there's nothing humorous about adultery. Jesus thought it serious enough that he addressed the issue in his Sermon on the Mount. Right? And in this passage, Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 30. Let us now all turn to that passage. The book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, reading from verse 27 to 30. Matthew 5, 27. "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." The commandment being discussed here is one of Moses' 10 commandments recorded in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. "You shall not commit adultery." Keeping the seventh commandment is threefold in manner. In context, Jesus referred to the religious leaders' physical observance of the seventh commandment. Then our Lord radically points to the mental aspect of observing it, and by extension and learning from the history of God's people in the Old Testament, we want to avoid the spiritual aspect of it as well. So this morning, I have 3 points for you. First, you shall not commit physical adultery. Secondly, you shall not commit mental adultery. And thirdly, by extension, you shall not commit spiritual adultery. Firstly, you shall not commit physical adultery. Now you may say at this point, Pastor, I don't think, you know, this applies to me since I'm not married, you know, and technically I will not be able to commit adultery. Well, I'm not so sure whether it's true or not. Let's assume it's true technically. But it will do you good to understand the seriousness of this commandment and how easy it is for us, all of us humans, to fall into its temptation. But before we move on, let's first define adultery. What is adultery? Adultery is sexual intercourse of a man with a married woman other than his own spouse. According to the Gage Canadian Dictionary, adultery is sexual unfaithfulness of a husband or wife. A young boy came home from church one day. The Ten Commandments were the discussion in Sunday school. And he asked his daddy, "What does it mean when the Bible says, 'Thou shalt not commit agriculture'?" Obviously, the boy confused the word adultery, okay, with the word agriculture. But his daddy, quick as a flash, answered, "Son, that means that you are not supposed to plow on somebody else's field." You know, interestingly, that's a good definition of what adultery is. So be careful. Don't go out plowing somebody else's field. Adultery is a sin against your spouse to whom you covenanted or promised on your wedding day to be faithful and committed. Adultery is a sin against your children whose home you ruined and whose family you torn apart. It's not just a sin against your spouse or your children. It's also a sin against God. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, Joseph was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife was seducing, you know, him. And he said, you know, Joseph said, "How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" So adultery is actually a sin against God as well. In God's design, the family is the base unit from which the whole community is formed. Remember that the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments, the first four was designed to govern our relationship with God. And the remaining six is to govern our relationship with one another in the community. Adultery ruins that relationship. In fact, adultery breaks other commands as well. For example, adultery is stealing. It steals the love from one and from another. It is taking love that does not belong to you. It steals someone's wife away. Adultery destroys trust and jeopardizes the family. Adultery is a living lie. It is done without the knowledge of the spouse. Adultery is coveting someone who does not belong to you. Adultery is the supreme example of selfishness. I need this for me. My wife does not meet my needs, and so on, you know. But right at the core, adultery is an issue of unfaithfulness and non-commitment. We living in modern times are especially vulnerable to this temptation because we are regularly bombarded by the media with this anti-biblical value of adultery and fornication. For example, in TV shows like, you know, The Grey's Anatomy, sex and extramarital affairs are like a common cup of tea, happening in the workplaces, at homes, and even at awkward times of the day. Well, maybe the filmmakers are sensationalizing this aspect, or maybe not, as they claim that it truly reflects what is going on in the society today. The sad statistics are that almost 6 out of every 10 marriages in America will experience adultery. Be forewarned, adultery kills. Have you encountered this sign when you drive along some roads or some part of the freeways that caution you about deer's crossing. Okay. Deer's crossing. Have you ever wondered why it only mentions deer? Now, I believe other animals also cross the road. Why not use animals but deer? I came across this illustration. This may explain why. According to the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, there are over 17,000 deer killed on the highways every year. And they are usually killed in the month of November. Now, why are most of them killed in November? Because that is when they are obsessed with reproductive activities. They chase whatever deer is out there. Now, nobody is married in the deer kingdom, I suppose, but we are not in the deer kingdom. If that type of thing becomes your obsession, your life is in danger, and not just in November. Adultery is dangerous. The next time you drive along on the highway and you happen to see a dead deer lying along the road, think about the high price of adulterous obsession. So be careful. The seventh commandment is also a protecting barrier, a fence protecting us from things that would destroy us. You know, cowboys and bull riders often endangered their lives in their performances. One day there was this bull rider. He was hanging, on a bull's back, and the bulls were jostling and jumping around. The bull lost his footing and turned over and landed upside down on the cowboy. The cowboy, could hear his bones breaking, but he managed to get up. But then he realized at the far end there was another bull beginning his charge at him with all his might, and strength. And despite the pain, he ran towards the fence and managed to jump over it. You can imagine how thankful he would be for that fence. Wouldn't you think so? That fence is not there to take away his freedom. That fence is there to protect it. That fence became a barricade separating him from the big bad bull, which in turn is on his destruction and death. In the same way, the seventh commandment, or in fact, all the ten commandments, is a protecting barrier, a fence protecting us from the thing that would destroy our relationship with our spouse. You shall not commit physical adultery. That's our first point. Obey it. Our second point, you shall not commit mental adultery. Adultery is more than just a physical plowing of someone else's field. Adultery also includes thinking about or anticipating the act of plowing. Jesus made this very clear in Matthew 5:27-28. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If you admire something long enough, you will soon want it. And if you want something long enough and bad enough, you will probably find a way to get it. We need to be careful because sin starts in the mind. Sin begins in looking and thinking about that which is forbidden. The mind is the incubator. That is a place or an environment that promotes the growth or development of something, like the one used for hatching chicks. The mind is the incubator. So what you put into your mind is exactly what you will get out of your mind. If you think about pure things, you are going to get pure things out. If you think adulterous thoughts, long enough, you will eventually have an affair. You get out of it exactly what you put into it. If you think about pure things, you will be pure. If you will get out what you put in. Jimmy Carter was interviewed by Playboy magazine. And the interview was published in the November issue, 1976. Now I must emphasize at this point that I did not ever read any of those magazines, okay? But merely just quoting from this illustration. Well, that interview almost cost Carter the presidential election. And still today, Playboy magazine trumpets that interview as one of its most sensational ever. In it, Jimmy Carter said this, "I have looked on a lot of women with lust. I have committed adultery in my heart many times. This is something that God recognizes I will do, and I have done it. And God forgives me for it." Now, I do not know under what context that Carter made his confession, but at the least, it points to the fact that we are all humans, and we tend towards sin. The first look at a person of the opposite sex, I believe, does not constitute adultery. But if we allow this look to further lead us into imagining and planning, that will certainly be a case of adultery down the road. A good example is that of King David, who happened to look at Bathsheba, you know, taking a bath. One look led him to ask his messenger to find out more about her, and then eventually to get her, you know, to the palace and on the bed. Jesus wants us to stop this process at its source and as quickly as possible. In verses 29 to 30, he says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your whole body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of body than for your whole body to go into hell." Can you imagine what will happen to all of us if we obey or are forced to obey this commandment literally? I guess, okay, there will be many here who will be blind and maimed in many ways. Don't smile at me, but I'm sure, right? Like if the first look constitute adultery. Well, I believe Jesus is using a figure of speech or perhaps exaggeration language to show us how radically we are to treat sin. Although Jesus is not teaching us to literally pluck out, you know, our eyes, but definitely, if something is causing us to sin, he's asking us to get rid of it. He's asking us to take some radical initiative. He's calling for a radical amputation. So, for example, if someone struggles with pornography, online or on paper, whatever, Taos committing mental adultery by lasting, what would be his radical amputation? Right? I can think of a few ways, like perhaps you can get a filter for the internet, you know, right? Or you can find an accountability partner. Or better still, get rid of the internet. Get rid of the entire computer. That is radical, right? How about taking this kind of radical initiative? It may sound wild, it is, but so is cutting off our own hand or gouging our own eyes to keep from sinning. If someone is in a relationship that they know is headed towards, you know, towards adultery, what would be some radical initiative to take? What is some radical amputation to take? You can think of like perhaps you can sever all ties with that person. Or perhaps better still, go and confess your sin to your spouse. Or if they are at work, you can request a change of departments. Get a new job, better still, right? Something like that. It may sound crazy. Yeah, but that is a radical initiative that you can take. Radical amputation suggested by Jesus. If you struggle with watching TV shows or movies on TV that cause you to lust, how could you handle that sin radically? You know, you can just remove those channels, cut off your cable or your TV, your satellite TV, right? Get rid of your TV, better still. There was a pilot who had lots of stay over at hotels when he was in between flights. Every night, for 20 years, he struggled with all the adult programming that comes on those hotels. When he decided to get right, every night he would walk into his hotel room, unplug the TV, and take it out of his room. And on several occasions, you know, he would keep those TV in his co-pilot's room. Well, sound crazy. Did people look at him funny or accuse him of stealing the TV? Yeah. But did it keep him from sinning? You bet. Jesus says it's better to endure life maimed, or in our case, to be without the TV or the internet, okay, than to sin. Radical amputation. You shall not commit mental adultery by doing radical amputation. That's our second point. Now our third point, and the last point, you shall not commit spiritual adultery. What is spiritual adultery? Symbolically, adultery is used to express unfaithfulness to God. And we can easily see this in Israel idolatry. God is represented as the husband of his people. In Ezekiel 16, verses 15 to 59, there is a graphic description of Israel's spiritual adultery. The people worshipping other idols in the temple of God. In the book of Hosea, God shows the people of their idolatry by calling Hosea into marrying Gomer, an adulteress. God, the husband who remains faithful, is calling for his adulterous wife to return. In the New Testament, Christ is depicted as the groom and the church, the bride. The bride is to remain a chaste and pure spouse to her groom. Have we committed spiritual adultery? Well, ask yourself, did you in your life make anyone or anything an idol? Have they stolen your love for God and your passion to serve Him? Have they taken the place of God in your life? Are you obsessed by those things that you neglect, God? Remember, it can be someone or something. If your answer is yes, you have committed spiritual adultery. Confess it. Perhaps, you know, as Jesus suggested, take some radical initiative. Cut off, amputate those things, you know, remove those things that, you know, causes you to commit this spiritual adultery and return to the faithful God. The seventh commandment, in conclusion, I guess there's only one response. Obey it. You shall not commit adultery physically, mentally, and spiritually. And finally, just some lingering questions on this topic. First question is that, will adulterers inherit the kingdom of God? I think the Bible is clear. No. Bible is very clear about it. And you can read that in Galatians 5:19-21 and 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Second question, can adultery be forgiven? Yes, if the adulterer confesses and repents from his or her sin. However, the consequence of adultery has to be borne. Should someone forgive his or her spouse of adultery? Now we have the opportunity here to mirror in our own relationship that same quality of faithfulness with which God relates to us. Should someone forgive? The biblical answer is yes. If we are able to imitate God's faithfulness. But it's going to be hard. Humanly speaking, it's hard. This may be our next sermon. In the first place, if we obey the seventh commandment, there will be no need for that. May God help us. Let us pray. Father God, we just stand before you, asking for your help to help us. Even as our Lord Jesus who taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, grant us strength, grant us the wisdom, grant us the courage to take some radical initiative to cut off all means that will lead us into this sin of adultery. Lord, even as we stand before you here, Lord, we want to think about the spiritual adultery that so often, Lord, that we have committed, Lord. There are things, sometimes, Lord, we know that we are not careful, Lord, and we let those things to lead us to replace you, Lord, in our life. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you help us to take some radical initiative to remove those things, Lord, in our life. Forgive us, Lord, for our sin. But lead us, Lord, lead us away, Lord, from this temptation. Deliver us, Lord, from the evil one. Grant us, Lord, victory. Victory, Lord, in our Christian life. All this, Lord, we pray. We confess in Jesus' name. Amen.